Welcome to Ever Beyond, on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info and No Borders Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. July 28th, 2013. This is Ever Beyond with JP, and my guest today is a gentleman who I have been associating with. We originally met again through the Rebecca Jernigan chat room connection, through Dave Kelso in Chicago, and so we've got, you know, this very sort of networky kind of connection, and we've just been talking about scalar energies and what Jay's been building, and like, I want to build one, and like, so as is my wont, this is my hobby, and one of the things that I like to do is express these weird little hobbies, because eventually these weird little hobbies become new science. So I really quite enjoy having my little weird hobbies, having been justified and vindicated recently. But anyway, without any ado, let's bring Jay in and let's start talking. So, from JP to Jay Larson, greetings. How are you?
Very good, JP.
Very, very good. So, we've been talking over the last few days and weeks, and you have been researching and then B, building scalar energy devices. Now, this is obviously not your first attempt to build devices, but is this your first scalar?
No. Actually, I've been building them for over 20 years in different types, but back in the old days, what I did, I would took a walkie-talkie that was running 50 megahertz, and I used a doubler circuit twice to get it up to 200 megahertz and created a scalar wave. And with the scalar wave, it had an unusual effect on human beings. I had the waiter carried around in his apron, and as he approached the table, everyone would put him in absolute pleasure. I mean, they were as happy as they could be. You wouldn't believe it. And it actually increased the tips by 2.5 times. But actually, I got into scalar waves before that, predecessor to it was back when they first came out with TENS units and brainwave synchronization, where you had to have the wires to do the brainwave synchronization by force feeding your body with alpha waves or stuff. Well, I thought it was kind of, what would you call it? I rather have hands off. So what I did, I pulsed the square wave alpha field through a magnetic field, and it would affect people in the room. So I could experiment with radio waves and stuff to enhance the ambience of a room or whatever, so you could actually flip it on and everyone in the room that was meditating could achieve it very easily with no wires or anything through entrainment. So I was doing basically the same thing the government was doing with their mind control back when they were doing it.
So this is a way of trying to create a local bubble field of nice energy in the kind of otherwise rather yucky energy. Is that the sort of idea that you're talking about? And does that apply? Does that apply to the scalar universe?
The first field I was doing, basically, I had psychic abilities and stuff, and I wanted to enhance them as much as possible. So when this first started, I tested biofeedback and stuff like that. First of all, the units for biofeedback, they started about $175. That's a little ridiculous. So what I did is found that you could entrain the brain to run those frequencies by injecting electrical signals, much like biofeedback those things they put on your body. They're basically
electrodes.
Taped electrode, and I found that to be very difficult to place where you're comfortable with them. They kept coming off and everything else. So that's when I decided to just use magnetic pulse units. But basically it was just to enhance my own abilities. I wasn't out to do it for anyone or anything else. I was exploring with that. But after that time, I started getting interested in free energy and stuff. So I spent a lot of time reading through all the articles and stuff through KiliNet.com, which basically was an early free energy site. Started out as a bulletin board service that went into basically around 95 or 96, became a internet site, and I spent a lot of time on there learning a lot of different things.
So that's also
Learn things like etheric energy, which is basically what they used to call the zero point energy, but actually etheric energy is a little bit different than zero point energy, because actually at the zero point there is no time, there is no space, everything exists, coexists simultaneously together. It's much like what you would call the quantum field. You're spread all over it from the beginning of time to the ending of time, and every location that's available simultaneously. So technically what you would call the source of everything, you're basically in the quantum field with the zero-point energy. The ether is something like a bleed-through of energy that comes through the quantum field, but it's more interdimensional. It moves from one state to another state, basically balancing out the different dimensions, so to speak. So there's always a flow with it. The zero point is just a static field, basically. It's a quantum field. It's just a wavelength that's there. Etheric energy moves, but it's not electricity nor magnetism. It has a motion, more like it has a time field with it, so it behaves as if it moves through time. And some of the early experimenters, like Keeley and stuff, talked about being different forms or different variations of etheric energy. So that's why I would consider it more of an interdimensional energy that are predecessors to what you would call light, magnetism, and electricity.
So for Jay,
yeah,
would you let's talk about these different waveform energies, these different, what does electromagnetic energy mean, and how do they relate to radio waves and light waves, and then what is the difference between that and a scalar wave, or you're calling it something slightly different, aren't you, not scalar?
Okay, yeah, etheric energy, a scalar wave is an opening of the channel, and etheric energy is actually flowing in the channel. So you could consider a scalar wave, for all practical purposes, a scalar wave is that etheric energy. It has two types of motion. One motion is instantaneous, yet if it's moving through an object or something, it seems to take time from moving to one portion part of the object to the other by how long it takes to absorb, totally fill the object at that point. With the like etheric energy, scalar waves have frequencies, and all a frequency basically is that you have a electronic potential that varies. In other words, you have a waveform, but you don't have a magnetic vector. The vector disappears because you're running two simultaneously waveforms that are where the center or the nodal points and stuff are technically what you call the zero point. Anything that zeros out is a zero point in reality. What happens is it affects matter in different ways. First of all, when you use, let's say, electromagnetic radiation, you cannot create electromagnetic radiation without creating a scalar wave that moves along with it. So if you, technically you can create electromagnetic radiation and have a reflector and then the electromagnetic wave, but the scalar wave will still continue on going through it. So you could actually separate a scalar wave that way as well without having to use a magnetic field to produce it.
So this is the technology your device that you've been demonstrating is using, is that right?
Right. It has no time.
Can you explain what you mean by that? It has no time.
It's not affected by time. It's more like it's the actual energy can travel instantaneously anywhere, which means it doesn't have any time. It's much like a waveform. Just the wave, which exists in a quantum field. So everything gives off the scalar pattern. Like if you take a photographic picture, that pattern on there has an essence of that scalar field of the person you took the picture of. Now, if you would radiate a scalar wave into that pattern, it would affect that person, even if you weren't present. Or you can actually aim the scalar wave at the person and it would affect that person. But what it would affect that person at the start would be when the time the photograph was taken. So what happens is, in other words, you have in the information of that photograph, you not only have the vibration of the person, but you also have the time field and location integrated in that picture. So when you hit it with a scalar wave, you're actually hitting that time face location and that person simultaneously.
Right, hang on a second.
Of the pictures is that.
Jay.
So basically, what?
Sorry, because this is a really fascinating point, and it's very connected with the subjects of my shows, which is the etheric substrate behind what we call the reality of this world. And you're saying that a photograph, even a digital photograph, is that right?
Yeah, has that information already encoded on it.
Which must be...
So if you took that photograph...
This must be what we call the soul energy, because it's the underlying substrate.
Well, it's the underlying substrate of the physics of the three-dimensional hologram. The three-dimensional hologram would create the physical world. It does have a part of... It has a portion of your soul energy in it, just like every multi-dimensional portion or even alternate timeline portions of yourself has that frequency of yourself in it.
So it goes back to all these, they used to talk about the natives First Nations and not wanting to be photographed because they felt that it would steal part of their soul, and you're actually saying yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. But even more so, because it connects to all of your multiverse portions of yourself as well, not just the little portion that's inhabiting the body, because it has your total frequency in there, but you're also sending it a lot through that time-space coordinate of wherever the picture is taken, because you have a lockdown on the time, space, and location with that frequency. So if you use a scalar wave on a photograph, that's where the energy first hits. Then it passes on up the timeline, down the timeline, and sort of sideways on the timeline, you could say, into the multi-dimensional aspects.
So that's fantastic.
So that's why you can take what I've been doing lately is using a satellite picture of the Earth, and I can radiate the entire planet with this energy. Basically, I started with Earth energy frequency, the Chomin response, which I told you about earlier, which because of the reason I thought of using a scalar wave was because the normal magnetics is basically blocked out by all this electromagnetic radiation, like they use in cell phones, cell towers, Wi-Fi systems and everything else has a tendency to disrupt the natural frequency of the Earth. And the natural frequency of the Earth and the Sun are basically the two things that help balance the body. You know, they're a control factor for all life here on the planet. So I decided to I built one with the Earth frequency. And after using it a few days, I decided, if I went from the Chomin response, which is 7.83 cycles a second to 8 cycles a second, I could then add 4 cycles a second, 2 cycles a second, 1, 16, 32, and 64, and that would cover all the brainwave patterns that are available to the body, but it would sync them all up so you could access any portion simultaneously. It would make it easier to remember dreams, to remember ideas, to come up with ideas, because you'd be simultaneously resonating in all those fields simultaneously, making the access of your creativity and stuff and hypercognition cognitive functions of the brain in the gamma range, like the advanced yogis and stuff have, in which would be the 32 cycles a second and the 64 cycles a second range, it would allow people to waken up a little quicker. So then I came up with the second MP3 for that. But you could also, I put on your text there that we could take that medication, and we can send it to that satellite photograph, and it would affect everyone on the planet. Not only the people, but all the trees, plants, minerals, everything. Because all is consciousness. So, and it would have a tendency to basically repel this foreign invader, so to speak, from not only the people, but the planet itself.
That's very, that's quite wide-ranging, isn't it? I mean, rather than working on people or plants or anything, it's working on the underlying substrate, the matrix, literally the matrix that our holographic reality is built from. Is that right?
Right. It'll come into the people subconsciously. But you got to remember all the karmic agreements and stuff and contracts are all subconscious anyway. So it doesn't matter what state you bring it, because it'll all surface. The subconscious automatically does it. You know, does what it's told to do. You know, that's why they have sublineal advertising and all hypnosis and everything else. You know, the conscious mind basically instructs the subconscious what it wants, and then the subconscious does it. Now, if it say starts worrying about itself, you know what? The subconscious picks up that worry and equates that as that you ordering bad health, and all of a sudden that worry turns into about the flu or whatever, cold. But the subconscious just picks up anything it's told to, and does automatically what it's told to do. It's not particular. It don't make any discernment function on the item. So we can utilize it to help increase the frequency of everyone on the planet by using it.
So now we've just been doing the meditation, and you know, Katie's been expressing her energy. Now I caught that on a tape, you know. So there we go. I mean, it's come out of a microphone. It's been digitized. It's been sent through. It's been mangled by Skype. It comes onto my computer, goes through my mixing desk, gets re-digitized and goes into the broadcast machine, where it's then recorded in digital. But still, that carries a scalar imprint.
Yeah, it also contains the intent of the person as well, because the intent is broadcast in the voice.
Oh yes, and certainly with Katie, her voice does carry the very strongly the her first ray source mode source.
Not only that, she's fairly psychic, so she has abilities of really focusing more acutely than other people would normally do if they were making just a tape. And wasn't paying attention to her surroundings, so to speak, or the people that she's producing it for. In other words, she's empathically reading everyone that will ever have contact with it before she even speaks the words. You Understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Picking it up on it. And thus she changes her speech patterns and everything on the reaction she gets in the moment to make the intent as perfect as possible. Thus it would be useful not only the time of broadcast but any other time as well, because it's recorded, because the person is using that type of technique to make it good any time it is used, not just the time that it was recorded.
Yes, we've actually we were talking about this on Friday. We were talking about the orbs. That we did an experiment, and we've restarted it. Actually, we did an experiment in 2011. That whenever we took a break in Rebecca Jernigan's show, that Donna would go out of her house and photograph her garden and catch all the old orbs. I'm sorry.
I think the location was given as North Carolina.
That's right, in North Carolina. Yeah, so it was very very interesting. So it sparked off quite a few interesting things, but it does give an idea of this is our nature, that we have this scalar nature that is able to be in all places at once or any place where it desires. There is no limitation of physicality in that world.
In fact, we don't have to create a line. We can actually just be there. We don't have to travel there. We can instantly be there. We're just accustomed to feeling like we have to go from point A to point B traveling. But we don't. See, that's why people can't tell what dimension we're in, because we're so accustomed to the paradigm of the third dimension. We don't realize that we can jump from point A to point B without there being anything in between.
So, this is the essence of 4D reality. But we've got to get used to the idea first, because until we can believe in the idea, it doesn't exist. Isn't that right?
It exists for a few, maybe, but what it is we just got, it takes time to get rid of a lot of the things that we are used to in the third dimensional paradigm. So we may be vibrating at a 5D level and not realize it, because we're focusing on holding what we perceive is our reality together, so to speak, instead of letting it just to change on its own, so to speak. And it takes a while to drop the guard down, so see the what's more out there. First, you'll notice that things are getting more vibrant and colors standing out. Things look more beautiful. Sounds are keener. Music sounds better. You know, it's the little things that, and it'll gradually grow until you notice the entire landscape and other things are starting to change as well. But we're getting there.
That's fantastic. Where are we? We're halfway through the show. I haven't mentioned yet that this is Wolf Spirit Radio. This is No Borders Radio. We are listener supported. So if you go to the website, wolfspiritradio.com, or everbeyond.info, or No Borders Radio, depending on where you wish to place your support, maybe you could do all three, and click on the donate button, which is very blatantly advertised somewhere on the page in all of those places. So do support us. The archives at Wolf Spirit Radio are available for the mere donation of £5 a month. $5 a month, so it's even cheaper. That is less than the price of a cup of coffee at Starbucks, I believe. It's not much of an investment, and it does. I mean, basically, it keeps the servers running. It costs money for Dave to store all of the server space. It also costs me money to store the archives on my server space, and they're vast. And there's a lot of really, really good information in all of them. So, do give a donation to Dave, or join in the archive, and that will give a regular donation. And that'll keep the servers running. Dave doesn't take a penny from this. I don't take a penny from this. I don't know why we're doing it. I really don't. we're doing it for the same reason Jay is irradiating the world and making it a better place. I mean, that's just the way it is, isn't it, Jay?
Yeah, you don't think about making anything. You just know if you do it, you're going to end up with a world that's going to reflect your contribution up to it. So it's a win-win sort of situation.
That's right. So Jay, let's talk about how you're making this device. And all right, first of all, why did you decide to make it? Let's talk about the whole story. Let's talk about the thought first until we get to the manifestation. Let's go through the seven levels.
Okay, to make this device the most recent device, what brought me to that thought was I ran across a YouTube video where a company was taking its botanicals and stuff, health food type supplements and stuff, and irradiating them with scalar waves to increase the viability of their product and enhance what it does for the body. And they not only radiated the items that they were selling, but they test them first through chiral photography to know the before and after effects of it, and do another type of aura photography that they, where it's done with some sort of special camera and computer that measures the fields around the body of a person after they've taken the substance. And this fascinated me, and I says, heck, if you can do that, we can use it not only to enhance ourselves, to protect ourselves from the radiations, basically, from cell phones and everything else, but it helps cleanse the body, so the energy helps the body cleanse itself and perform at the best it can. So I figured, well, that would be a good thing just to do with it. You wouldn't need that. All you need is the scalar field, you know. I could make a scalar field, and just what held me up at making the scalar field was I was still thinking electronics. Well, I hate to go through this and have to do a soldering project, and you never get a circuit board. You know, you have to make so many things to put a circuit together, and especially on a board that's not designed for that circuit, just to build the frequency oscillator to run that energy pattern you wanted to run, which was the Earth frequency. So what I decided, hey, I don't have to do that. All I got to do is produce an audio input, and I can use my computer, and all I do is have to translate it once it comes out the audio input. That's what I come up with, the idea of building it right from a audio input jack to an earplug or earbud setup, and just
produce a scalar coil to convert that electrical pulse energy into a scalar field.
Okay.
Then I could radiate my own food, water, or whatever myself.
Jay, let me translate that for the listeners as to what you did. So rather than mess about, rather than, as we say in Britain, dick about with a with soldering iron and circuit boards and all this other stuff, you just use the output of any computer or CD player or MP3 player. So all you're actually doing, you took a pair of Walkman headphones, what I call Walkman headphones, nipped off the earbuds and attached those leads to your device. Is that right?
Right. Basically, a caduceus coil.
Caduceus.
And that's all it is. Much like the caduceus rod of Mercury, you have that rod in the center, and you have the snake traveling up that rod. That was the actual design. There's no difference from...
Yeah, but there's more of a dimension to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got more of a dimension, hasn't it?
They have that same thing in Egypt. You know, it's knowledge that was left over from Atlantis that they kept because they knew it was important, and they only taught it to the priestcraft.
Right, so let's...
Because with that caduceus field, much of the technology of Atlantis could be utilized in one form or another.
You mean you can activate things using the caduceus coil? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but if you pulse the field at a certain rate, you can create doorways and travel time even.
So has this got anything to do with the Ankh as well, that famous Egyptian symbol of life and the thing they always used to carry around with them? In these friezes on the walls, they always used to carry these things around with them, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I don't know exactly what it was, but it had a purpose. I would imagine that it just took your... I imagine the original ones were actually some sort of what you call a wand of some sort, and all they had to do was think and focus their intent to the wand, and the wand would direct it in a special way to do so, one thing or another, whatever it was designed to be used for.
Interesting. So you're talking about something that could easily become, is, you know, this thing could fit in your hand quite, in the palm of your hand quite easily, can't it?
Well, I can make them even smaller. I could, if you were using an MP3 player, you can make the caduceus very small, less than an inch long.
All right, so that would fit inside a little, on an iPod. You got this little device, these various devices you can stick on top, stick them into.
Yeah.
So you could probably scoop out the guts of one of those and use and put the coil quite neatly inside of that. So if anybody's thinking about what you want to do for the rest of your life, if you want to produce, what should we call it, an eye scaler? No, that doesn't sound nice. Eye scale.
Sounds like something scraped across your eye.
Yeah, that doesn't sound nice. Eye scaler, no. But anyway, an etheric energy transformer, yeah.
Just a small one. In fact, one of these small Chinese MP3 players that you can pick up for about $2.50, $3 off of eBay, and all you would have to do is put the MP3 files in it, a battery in the back, and your little Caduceus jack into it, and you'd be all set, and you could use it anywhere you carry it around with you. I just, to make it expedient, I just built one that just was the jack itself where I could run it right off my computer. But you could also make a larger variety instead of using an MP3 or a computer. You could use a full sound system and just solder the Caduceus coil to a full speaker wire coming off from an input with 100 watts of power if you wanted. But then you have a very intense field. And I found that you don't need very much.
What would be the effect of of cranking it up, as it were? Because, I mean, I have to say, Jay, I have a lot of amplifiers in this room. I mean, I was just saying in the last show, I've got lots of big, tall black boxes, Marshall stack things.
With one at 100 watts, you're approaching about the energy you would need maybe to create a dimensional hole. I mean, it could be possible that you could actually create your own little time vortex or whatever in your house and pop in and pop out somewhere else.
So, I'll be getting a visit from Stillings. So, is this, you know, these time portals that, you know, you see in these science fiction films?
I can hear you.
You know, time portals and those wall portals, dimensional portals, is it that they have these scalar devices inside them? So what happens when you have two of these?
You only need one. You already come with the internal technology. All you need is the portal to go through. That portal sends you to the zero point, and all you got to do is decide where you want to pop back up out. In other words, you're basically going from your three-dimensional location to source, then back to whatever three-dimensional location, time coordinate, or whatever that you were focusing on. Of course, there's always a chance if you don't have a very strong mind or a good focus, you could end up in some weird places. That's why I recommend just a light variety, you know, for entrainment of food, helping your physical body and things like that.
All right, so you really don't want to... Yeah, you don't want to crank too much power into it.
No. You don't gain that much from it, and you could be dangerous to yourself in large quantities without knowing. It's better to develop the internal technology of time travel first, and so you know what you're doing. Then you have the fundamentals that you don't have, where you can make adjustments to it, stuff like that. But if you have the internal technology, why would you need the external technology? With the internal technology, everything works correctly. External, you use too much force or your frequency's not on, and you could end up maybe you're two or three to the right of this universe. You know, you could be popping into a different universe and not even realizing it, and it may just be subtly different.
Yeah, so this thing about traveling between universes, because, well, I've just been overdosing on Fringe, so TV series we were talking about it earlier, and we just discover that the leading heroine now has the ability, given a whole bunch of drugs and an isolation tank, to move between universes. We don't need that much, do we?
We don't even need drugs. We do it all the time. That's how our universe is actually created, because there's in reality only the now, and you just string a snapshot, so to speak, on a timeline like pearls, and you're actually popping into alternate universes all the time. Now, if you take the time that takes for Plunkett's quantum distance of Plunkett length, that amount of time it takes light speed to move across that Plunkett length is the time they call an instant. So what you're doing basically, you're making close to 100 billion jumps a second, and they're all alternate universes because they're all just spots frozen in time. They're just snapshots that are getting three-dimensional, so to speak. That's what you call the multiverse.
Time frames, is that right?
Yep. Three-dimensional time frames. Instants. Everything's an instance, and we just string them along in our memory. So the more you can slow the process down on your jumps, and later on you can learn to in 10 certain jumps. Once I've had a time when I was getting ready to jump consciously, and all of a sudden I see, with my psychic sight, I see six different screens simultaneously, and I send energy down which one to see which one feels the best, then I enter the one that feels the best. But it looks like, as you're looking at it, it looks like a two-dimensional thing until you jump into it, and you jump into a three-dimensional hologram, basically.
So, in my dream time, I've come across this device, which they call a time frame sequencer, which allows me is very much like using iTunes, you know, where you leaf through the albums on iTunes, and you can use your mouse to scroll left and right, and all the albums come out, and you see them first of all on the edge, and then they kind of flatten out until you get the album cover, and then they flip over on the edge for the next one, like a jukebox, old-fashioned jukebox. Something like that.
Right.
Have you heard of anything like that?
No, not in this reality, but that's basically what you can do psychically. You're just viewing which ones that are available to you at the moment in relationship to the frequency that you carry. The higher the frequency you are, the more ability you have to jump different timelines of your choice. That's what you call freedom.
So, raising your frequency and lowering your frequency, how does that happen?
Well, basically by clearing all the trauma and judgments out of the body. Every time you confront something and you don't place a judgment on a situation, realizing that everyone has a different point of view, and all views are valid anyway, you you don't put a value that this is right or this is wrong. It's just an experience, and you learn from the experience. That way you can capitalize on any experience. There's nothing bad ever happens. It just seems you were anticipating something, and your something didn't show up, so you consider it bad. But usually, some of the best situations happen where you think you're running into a bad situation and you're going to have hardship, and turned out it becomes the use of lays the golden egg. It's all in the perception of it. A lot of times, it's not in what actually is happening. It's every moment, every thing that happens to you is an opportunity. It's not a necessarily a karmic event. I look at karma as being just, it's like a playbook. You want to have certain things to experience, so you put certain things into your travelogue, what you want to do on your vacation. So you want to have those experiences, but sometimes the things change and you amend your travelogue because you find something more fascinating to do on your vacation. You know, that's basically what it is really like. And these negative entities or whatever you want to call them, they're still parts of the of what you want to call the supreme source or whatever, and they can't truly interact on you unless there's an agreement, because everything's a co-creation. So if you don't want them in your co-creation, then you just release the things that attract them. You know, once you release the things that attract them to you, your vibrations will be such, and there's going to be a separation, you know, because only it works much like gravity. Gravity is actually a resonance frequency field. Now, when two resonances run the same resonance, they're attracted to each other. We call that like attracts like, or gravity. But things that are different frequencies have a tendency to repel each other. So that's why a person that's a highly evolved soul, if he goes in what you would call a bad neighborhood, everyone leaves him alone. It's like the street's deserted all of a sudden. It's because they find his frequencies obnoxious to their state of being, so to speak, so they leave. They vacate.
Interesting. So it's interesting. I imagine actually you've followed a few of my shows, so you kind of have an idea of the sort of stuff that we talk about. And so many of the things that you've said in the last hour, I ask the same questions to a lot of my guests. You know, how do I know if I'm on the path? All that sort of stuff. And you've answered them from a very grounded point of view, but at the same time, very spiritually kind of very pure. So thank you very much for that.
Well, it's like the scalar field is a plaything for me, and I'm having fun irritating the powers that have been. You know, I can play games and have fun, much like a fairy, and there's not much they can do about it unless I directly interfere. Like once I remote influence the President of the United States to not sign the UN treaty for the gun thing, and you notice they haven't done it yet. But I got quite a psychic attack, and a couple of outworlders attacked me as well. And what I do, I create a containment field around them with white light, and it has a mirror surface, so any of their lower vibrations they try to attack me with just reflects back into them, and they have to deal with their muck, so to speak. But some of those outworlders were strong enough to break, cause holes into that field, so I had to throw a violet field over to transmute the energy, and so it wouldn't harm me as they were projecting it at me. But I had an intense 2.5 weeks, and they decided to leave me alone. But there's influence.
Yeah.
Well, if you're looking for a fight, you're going to get a fight because you're attracting that. You know, you're co-creating the fight when you try to remote influence or do anything to someone, or even affect policy, even if that policy be not as good for the collective, it's their choice to make, so to speak. But if you influence it, you got to expect blowback.
So,
and that's what I got a little book at.
Well, it looks like that. And again, it's interesting that the last show I was talking with Katie Galanti, and you know, we've all been experiencing some kind of weirdness in the last couple of weeks. So it may be that they're sending out a kind of all points attack to try and put us off because they know the end is near. I don't want to miss a thing. Aerosmith is not going to want to miss a thing. We're going to take a break now, and we'll be back in a few minutes. So go and get some more tea, bring me some biscuits, somebody pass me. Oh, I see you in a moment.
This is Ever Beyond with JP.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond. This is JP, and I'm with Jay Larson. There's many Jays. We should have a round table with all people called Jay Widener. That'd be cool. Anyway, so...
Yeah.
Just wondered off.
I just put a thing in your chat room. The Facebook's group site, so if anyone wants to... All the information on building it is on the site, and you can also get the MP3s to play the fields. All the information is on that on the group site on Facebook, and I just put it in the chat window for people.
So here's the thing, that what you've developed is a pattern, is a very simple pattern, everybody can do it, and in a way, everybody should be making their own version of this, shouldn't they? I mean, you're making right. them up, but it's something that we all should know about, how to make scalar devices, because scalar energy is something that is, that was the, this is the edge of Tesla, isn't it?
Yeah, Tesla was the first one to bring it back. And he discovered it by accident. His free energy device that he was working with electric generators. They found when electric generators were turned on that they caused an over amperage, so to speak, and electrocuted a few people. And he wanted to find, he experimented with the effect of the spark caused from electrical generators when there's when they're turned on, then a load is placed on them, and it causes that DC spark, so to speak. And he found that it produced a wave that couldn't be shielded. The electrical effects could be shielded by glass or anything else, and that's actually the first discovery of a scalar wave in modern history.
You say that the couldn't be shielded. Tesla discovered that it could not be shielded. Yes.
Right, it couldn't be shielded. So what he found out, though, is if the pulse rate of that direct current electrical discharge was increased over 100,000 times, that there was there it basically passed through the body and didn't cause any damage, but it did have a healing effect or an energizing effect within the human body as well. So that's when he started working with rotary spark gaps and stuff like that to increase the frequency of it, and run it, then he ran it through a flat pancake coil into that regular Tesla coil portion, and he found that it would all come off on the spike and most of it would be lost, so then it became unusable energy that way. That's when he put the ball on top and found that then it just sort of dissipates, it's not by a cold white spark, but by just sort of generating out. Then he could take another unit and build just the coil itself, and he could actually collect energy on the secondary coil that he built by absorbing the field that he was producing off the first one, and so, actually produce power from it.
So that's what we call transmission of energy, yeah?
Not only transmission, it actually produced more energy than it put out.
That's not fair. How'd that work?
In other words, the unit that he built in Colorado, if he would have built a big unit there, he could have used about the same amount of electricity generating from that little electrical station at that one Colorado electric company generator and produced enough energy to supply an entire planet.
For free.
All the rest would just need a receiver unit, which is no more than a coiled antenna to run power things, devices and stuff. He later went on and built a motor. I believe it was something like a Studebaker or an Edsel. He turned, put a motor in it, and ran it that type of energy, free energy. He had a device in it to absorb it right out of the atmosphere and produce enough electricity to run the motor and drive all around out using an electric motor. So he did quite a few unusual things. In fact, at his proposed death, the U.S. Department of the Army went and grabbed up most of his patents and stuff, and as he died, before the FBI even got there to pick up the stuff, the Department of the Army got all the good stuff. Andrew Bashago says one of those devices was a device that teleport, and they found it by accident. They built some of these machines, and one of the workers went after a wrench, and he took the shortcut into the machine, and he ended up in Africa or something. It took him 3 weeks to get back. But Tesla was quite a genius. But like I said, once you hit the scalar, the idea of playing with scalar energy, there's all kinds of apps and uses for it, from teleportation to time machines, to energy generation, to cellular regeneration. You could use a scalar energy and say if you got a photograph of you when you're younger, and you could send that energy through that photograph and retemplate your body at an earlier age, and your body would grow back to that earlier age. So there's a number of things people can play with. I almost recommend that one there. But the Russians did much with this type of energy using a Pentagon configuration of a structure with the cones going to it. And what they did, they sent microwaves into a duck and took the energy that came off of it, the mitogenic radiation, I believe they called it, and concentrated it into another container that was a chicken, and the chicken started growing web feet and started looking like a duck.
Yes, I've seen that. David Wilcock quotes that in his book, Source Field Investigations.
Yeah, in David Wilcock's book, they have that. And also, I included on those articles to further explore it. One of the articles is the actual experiment. I got the data location for it, and you just click on it. It's on an amateur scientist site, and it has the experiment, what they call, I believe it's spin energy, or whatever they call it, the Russians are calling it. And you can go there, and it explains how that type of energy is produced and some of the wild things that you can do with it. Korsakov called it time energy because it affects time. You know, it'll change the density of time, so to speak.
So, I've been watching Fringe as well, because that's, you know, this is almost like the language that he's using on this. Yeah, it's changing the density of time. Can you explain that? I thought, what you know, why does time have different densities? What does it mean?
It's running a certain frequency. You can think of a lower frequency as having more density. So if you add a higher frequency to that time, that the original time wave, what you're going to have is something that's running at a higher frequency, and when you hit that higher frequency, it's going to pop you into the future. If you hit a lower density, it's going to pop you into the past. Or you can do it in a... There's other ways of doing it as well, by because time flows in both directions, so you can pulse, say, the negative side of it and have it pull you basically forward in time, or use the positive energy side, which is like the positron, to head back in through time, and it'll pull you backwards. Because you produce scientists used to think that you produce electron positron pairs. Well, it's not much like that. It's more like positrons come from one direction of time and electrons come from the other direction. And they sort of pass each other. And that passing is much like a double helix.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
You just sort of.
Is that's the caduceus, isn't it?
Oh, well, the caduceus is much like that, except that on the caduceus coil, on one end's just a loop, and you get two, and on the other, you put the other ends of the coil. You could consider.
Yep, Jay, you broke up badly. Oh, there we go again. Looks like the stream connection's going to go as well, so that's just typical, isn't it? Well, anyway.
Oh, we're back.
Oh, there we go. Brilliant. That didn't take long. So, Jay, do you want to just wind back a little bit just before you got cut off?
Okay, a DNA or even a double helix is like the caduceus coil that's open on both ends. Now, a normal caduceus coil starts as a loop and it's two snakes coming up, and one snake's positive and the other snake's negative. It's much like the book. You can imagine them in the Hindu, where you're seeing they're both rising from the base or the root chakra, and you have these two snakes. Well, the loop is actually the base chakra, and it loops and negative and alternates negative and positive up your chakra system until it goes out the top of your head, basically. It's the same symbology. But like I said, the way our bodies are built, the helix, the chakra system, and everything, it's like we were designed to do all these things, you know, as second nature. It was built into the design of life to do these things.
So, we got devices that can re-resonate the matrix of reality.
Right.
And how much has this got to do with belief? I mean, if this device does its thing, does it matter where you can, I mean, does it still work whether you believe it or not?
Right. You just won't see it working. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll be blinded by your belief. It'll still be happening, but you won't see what's happening. You'll think something else is causing whatever is causing it.
Ah, you see it as another something else, right?
That's the way consciousness works. See, we all come here to play a game, and we create our own storyline. If you drop the storyline, nothing can affect you. Because if there's no good, no bad, you weren't this or you're that, because all you are is all you are is you are, you know. Everything you do is just an expression of you. You're not what you express. You're not the human body, but you express through the human body. And that's the biggest thing we got to get people out of, is quit thinking that they're the human body, that they're a spirit that expresses through the human body.
That's right. What is the fountain? Is it the hose pipe?
See, right. God's spark inhabits. But once you start clearing cellular memory and all that, because you got junk in there from the stories you give yourself before you go in, you remove them. You know, you experience them, you move the judgment of good and bad, you allow all your emotions to flow. You know, hate can be invigorating just as well as anger or anything else. Anger is very liberating, and it lets you know that when someone is invading your space, basically, what you consider personal space, and then you can deal with it in the proper context. But we're designed basically to be in a state of joy and happiness normally, and all I'm trying to do is help people receive their own, become themselves, so they be in their natural state of joy and happiness, and there won't be no boredom, because when they're in their state of joy and happiness, their creative skills will grow as well.
So basically,
just in the past,
your device,
yeah,
will do nothing but good, because if, for instance, you may lose friends who are just not of the vibration, that's no bad thing, because you'll get new friends who are better. like no. Next version.
Right. Well, I'm connected to everyone, no matter if they're friends or not. You know, I always have the connection will always be there. You know, you never lose anything. So you're not really losing friends. They're just got other things to do that are more important to them for their own development. You know, you shouldn't be looking at it as you're losing or gaining, because you lose and gain nothing. You're just allowed to express in different ways, because you can never lose what's part of you anyway. And you know, we're all part of the whole, so how can you lose anything? How can you gain anything? You just have an experience part of what you have not experienced here, or in memory of you being here yet. So you just
Jay, sorry, you broke up there.
Stand for other friends. That even the dark cats are friends. They don't just realize it yet. In fact, a lot of times the people that are trying to control the world, they'll do good things just for the wrong reasons, so to speak. You know, there's looking at things being good or bad. You know, a lot of the dark cats do good things, and a lot of the so-called white lighters do bad things. Along with it, you know, there's mixtures of them. But when they decide to drop the judgment and realize they're just different expressions, and it's not a matter of good or bad to begin with, it's all a matter of perspective, because in their eyes, all the dark cats think they got their right, and all the white cats think they're right. And I'm to the point to think that everybody's right.
Oh, very interesting. You should tell my girlfriend that. Anyway, so... Where is it? Very good.
When you get to that point, mm-hmm. you can have a conversation with anyone and not feel offended by anything that's said, because it's just a point of view. And if the only ones that get upset of a point of view when they don't believe their own point of view, you know, they don't have their own personal resignation to say, I am this, you know, they're unsure of themselves. That's why they get upset. Then they feel that their egos get upset, and they feel they have to push their point when there's no point to push anyway, because everyone's correct.
Very nicely put. Very nicely put, Jay. So listen, I'm going to build one of these things. I know you're going to send me one. I'm going to build one. You're probably going to have one sort of completely more professionally made up. But cool. I just like fiddling about with things. What is the property of ferrite? Why does it need a ferrite core?
Well, I use a ferrite because it's magnetic material. Usually iron oxide, carbon, and what have fillers, and they press it. It's basically an iron ceramic to put it, that allows a wide range of use with frequency without causing a lot of loss through hysteresis. Hysteresis is when the alternating wave, there's a lag time in the magnetization of the material, and it produces heat, so you get losses through heat, especially when you're using iron or iron core things. That's why they make transformers in iron and silicon iron that are in thin sheets, and they laminate them together. It's to prevent hysteresis loss, which makes it a little more effective at higher frequency. But ferrites are good for very large range of frequencies. Now technically, with a caduceus coil, you don't have to have a core. You can have an open core, and it will still work. It creates a more intense magnetization when you put a core within the material, but it'll still have a magnetism factor what they call one with an open core. So you don't really need a core, but it's preferred. In fact, a steel nail will have a magnetization of about 1,000. So it is a pretty good one, but like I said, it's made of steel or iron that at high frequencies it would not be good to use because it would generate a lot of heat. But you can actually build, I've seen coils that were built that are air-cooled coils that have no core. In fact, I imagine for things like if you go build yourself a time machine, you probably want to build an air-cooled coil, which was fairly large size and took a lot of where it would handle a lot of energy and you worry more about the heating of the coil as it was working than you would for an object like we're building. We're just building it to improve ourselves, not to travel time, so to speak. But these caduceus coils, now some people have shot them with these coils up with microwave type energy, and they do cause levitation at that range. So you like I said, there's not much difference between gravity, time, and anti-gravity. They're all similar properties. It's just the frequency thing. If your frequency gets different enough, you're going to have levitation.
Now, that's what I'd like.
Well, you think most of these UFOs and stuff, they're basically units that levitate and also travel time. They can be almost at any point in the galaxy or universe in a matter of moments.
That's a TARDIS.
They just open basically a wormhole and lock into the other side and instantly there.
So this is when you're talking about a much larger scale. Now, I've been thinking while you were talking about that, about the different cores. What if I put, if I got a light, nice, long, thin crystal and put it inside the caduceus coil, would that have a different effect?
A lot of people have run caduceus coils or similar type bipolar coils and stuff. They've used them wrapped around crystals and buried the ends of them in organite, and then varied the frequency, and they said it really enhances the energy of a place where you live, and it kind of throws off electronic eavesdropping devices and things like that, is what I've heard. I haven't experienced it, but I know people that have built. And for that, all you would need is a small audio frequency generator. Takes a 9-volt battery, and you just plug it to the caduceus coil around the crystal, and you can vary whatever frequency you feel great at, or you can actually vary the windings and the crystal right into organite, and the energy coming out of the organite will be to the frequency match of the frequency you put into it. So you can actually bring in etheric energy and then set it to a certain frequency and transmit it through the quartz crystal.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking about. In fact, what I'm thinking about is a device that could be worn around the neck. This might be getting a bit more mental, but it's coming into line with the thing that you were talking about with the waiter. Is a small crystal with a caduceus coil connected to the MP3 cable. Mm-hmm. It would basically pulse this energy out into your auric field.
Right.
You could plug it into your MP3 player, or it would be a dedicated thing, that you have in your pocket. But you can have this thing sort of. Well, actually, it doesn't really need to be on. Maybe it does. Does it work better on any part of the body?
Well, it'd be easier to put the MP3 player with the caduceus coil in your pocket and just wear the crystal on you. It would energize your body, then energize the crystal, and the crystal would just modulate the field of your body in relationship to that energy.
Right.
That way you don't have to have wires going to, a crystal pendant or anything.
I could have a caduceus coil around the crystal and a caduceus coil in the unit, and they would transmit to each other, wouldn't they?
No, they wouldn't.
Doesn't that work?
Because the energy off of the caduceus coil is very coherent. So unless you have the coils exactly matched up, you're not going to get a signal. So it's easier to send a signal into the body than have the body send a signal into the crystal. Because the body absorbs the frequency, then the frequency, once the body starts filling up, it'll fill up the crystal.
Okay, good.
They learned that problem out when they were using these caduceus coils for faster and light communications. They had some of those projects done on Keeley in the 90s where you could use them and actually have one unit inside of Faraday cage and it would work. I mean, nothing shields it except a double layer polyethylene plastic seems to hold off the field for some reason.
Let me get this right. I'm sorry. Sorry, you got broken up there.
It's because of
Jay.
Okay. The only thing that will block the scalar wave that I know of is polyethylene plastic. But it will also block off radionics and all of it. It's all because it's all similar. And why that is the nature of the molecule at absorbing the material. The bond is in the way it's bonded together that it absorbs the energy and it won't let it pass.
That's fascinating. So you're saying that glass won't stop it, lead won't stop it, a Faraday cage won't stop it, but two sheets of plastic of cling film? How thick do they have to be?
Pieces of the sandwich bag will stop it. You know, sandwich bag plastic, polyethylene, saran wrap.
Yeah, or what we call cling film in UK, but it's so. I mean, this stuff pervades our entire world. Awful.
Uh huh.
So are you saying that actually it's more than just sealing you off against bacteria and things like that, but it actually is sealing you off against scalar waves of goodness that could be part of this thing.
It blocks them. But he, though, since scalar wave will come out both ends on that thing, on the coil, and if you were going to use the turn a scalar wave and make it into a weapon, say like a disintegration ray. I had a friend that was talking about that 60 cycles in a DC pulse will cause insects and stuff to totally disintegrate within the field. They turn green, then just they produce it sort of like a green orange, disappear. I actually think it is time travel. So personally, this is what I think is happening to the bugs. I don't think they're disintegrating them. I just think they're shifting them into a new time-space location. But to not be affected by that, you would have to, on the other side of your weapon or whatever you're going to use, you would want to have a couple sheets of polyethylene plastic to prevent the beam from hitting you. You know, if you're going to weaponize it, so to speak, to protect yourself or whatever.
I still can't believe that you could put a plastic bottle cap on the end of it and it would seal it. But that seems to, I mean, the, you know, PVC is pervasive. It's all over the place, and piping in the house and all of that stuff. So, interesting. So you could probably make a little capsule out of PVC from common household piping. Would create a single point.
Now, if you knew enough about time travel where you could modulate the wave, what I was thinking, if you could modulate the wave so you could hit a time-space location, you could actually shoot somebody with it and have them end up in another place. Like you could make the modulation, say, Alcatraz Island. You could be in New York City and someone comes to rob you and you hit them with that beam and all of a sudden they materialize in Alcatraz. You know, there's a number of ways you can do it.
Or the other way around, which would be probably more what people would like. You know, how to get out of Alcatraz? Well, I'll just beam myself out with a scalar device. I mean,
right?
How much energy are you talking about? I mean, would it take... I mean, could I take one of these black boxes out of these towers and use the 100-watt amplifier inside that to create something?
Well, 100 watts would do it, definitely. I don't even think it would take that much. They were working with... They were trying to build a Tesla, much following Tesla's work with 60... But they were using household current, basically, 60 cycle. And they put diodes on it and ran it as a pulse to a spark gap into the coil field, and the insects that was in the coil field disappeared. Now, that's not using very much. Household current, usually most things work less than 3 amps at about 110 volts. But you got to remember, they raise the voltage, and there's very little current in a Tesla unit. So they're probably using about between 100 and 300 watts of power on the unit, I would imagine. So it would be possible.
Hey, maybe that's the solution to my midi problem. Send them into a time domain.
Send them into a timeout. You know, send them in. Just send them to Africa or Siberia or some lost area in Mongolia and let them figure their way out, huh?
That'd be handy, wouldn't it? And, you know, basically you're talking, how long does this thing, you, all right, so is there hysteresis,
yeah.
Which, let me just define what that word means. It's like the magnetic field around the coil builds up. It takes a moment to build up until it's its full strength, at which point the hysteresis is over. But it's this rather charming little curve of voltage against time that this happens in, doesn't it?
Well, it involves two things. The time lag of magnetization in an iron object when countered with the reverse magnetization. In other words, it magnetizes one direction, sends alternating current, and when it comes around to the second portion, it takes a certain amount of energy to remove that magnetization that was initially set up. So certain materials are a little bit better than others. Iron nails are easy to magnetize. You can take an iron nail and hold it in the direction of north and hit it with a hammer, you know, strike it in the direction while holding it about 45 degrees towards the earth and down towards north direction, and if you strike it with a hammer, it'll pick up magnetism.
Is that so? Man, I gotta try that.
Not much. You may be able to pick up the paperclip or something with it, but it will produce a little bit of magnetism.
Now that is a fascinating factoid. Now the reason magnets are magnetic is because their atoms all are arranged in the single direction, like they've been brushed, all in the same direction. So what you're talking about is when you hit it with a hammer, that since it's already in the north-south magnetic field, and things are jangling around, they will come to rest in this north-south position.
Well, what you're doing, you're inducing a vibration into the crystalline structure, and what happens is they're going to shift, much like a crustal shift, and the magnetic lines of force are going to pull them in alignment, or part of them. And the amount of alignment that is reformed, because you're not generating a lot of heat from hitting it with a hammer, once the vibration from the shock wave has gone through the nail, it's going to then freeze its crystalline form into the new orientation, which is will be more magnetic than it was previous, because you're directing along the axis of the magnetic lines of force of the earth.
Fascinating. So, yes, I'm talking with Jay Larson, and in our final 15 minutes, we're going to... right, first of all, Jay, you've got a Facebook group that you've been building up. Is it growing? Are people hearing about this thing? How do they get hold of you?
I placed the... It's called https://www.facebook.com/groups 2737398927640087. It's already in, I've already posted it in Wolf Spirit Radio chat, so all you gotta do is click on it and it'll take you there. And it's an open chat, and anyone's invited.
Excellent, Jay. That's brilliant. So what's the next stage? You're gonna send a few out to some people, and you want us to experiment with it, presumably.
Yes, I've sent Well, I've already sent one out to Michael Monk. You know Michael?
Yes.
He had him on a show. There's a couple others. I'm going to send you one so they can experiment with them. I haven't planned on really making them, but you know, I'm getting pretty good at making the coils. That's just stuff I had around here. I don't really have an interest in making them. You know, being disabled and stuff. I may end up making a few,
Jay, we're experiencing a little bit of interferences now. Are you back with us, Jay? No, it's going to take a little while. It's going to be one of those blue moments. Yes, it's a blue moment. Let's see what's going on. We're probably going to lose the stream as well. Everything seems to be all right here. You just need to refresh your players in a couple of minutes if things go pear-shaped. Lovely to see you all. This is Ever Beyond, and you are listening on wolfspiritradio.com/wolfchat. That's where everybody is. And also you can go to everbeyond.info, and also you can go to No Borders Radio to pick up this show. We have several different outlets here, and it's good to see that it's all going to go out. It's all going to go out on podcast as well. It will become YouTubed. The archives are quite safe, even though the live stream is quite dodgy sometimes, I have to say. Let's just call Jay back there and see if we can get a better line. It was a bit, as Dave was saying, it's a bad audio day. Let's close that one there. Call this one here. And
the person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
No! Oh, thank you very much, little internet voice. Oh, dear. So I wonder what happened there. I think maybe Jay has gone offline. Let's try that again. It seems to be having a little bit more success this time. Oh, great. I love internet radio. It gives you so much time to moan about Skype. We are going to investigate various others. We have something called Ovoo, OOVOO.com. It's available for Windows.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
I'm afraid it looks maybe there's a storm going on in the States, because I'm still getting out to all the rest of you. So we'll see what happens and where this takes us. So I'm trying to get hold of Jay, he's probably just been knocked offline. Probably spoke too much. We've had a very interesting couple of hours. So to sum it up, the other day Jay was showing these things on Facebook, and we called up. So I said, look, come on the show and tell us all about it. Jay's shared with us some amazing insights on various levels, actually, and not just about scalar devices and what they're about and what the waves are about. It's always very interesting to talk about science that's out on the edge. Science not only that's out on the edge, but is also do-it-yourselfable. I do love this ability to be able to create small energy devices, and the way that it's being spurred on by YouTube, and how the YouTube community is creating in a co-creative way. Oh, there's Jay again. There we go, Jay. Hey, how are you doing?
Yeah, I lost my modem temporarily. All these time shifts has a tendency to raise problems with my modem.
So your chips got fried a bit. So I was just giving a little bit of a recap there. So we've only got about 5-6 minutes left to the show.
I'll post. I'm posting into the chat room right now. My my Facebook address, sister, www.facebook.com/freeenergyj.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So I'm just going to see if I can find, because the why did I just leave the page? Because on Facebook you get two numbers. You get the name of the group sometimes, and also you get a numerical version. And I'm sure there's a easier way of finding the group than using the number, but.
Go into Facebook where it's where it has the
search. Yeah, and what do you search for? Search
and just type in Scalar Devices, S C A L A R D E V I C E S, and it will take you to that group.
D E V. Or D-I-V. I don't know, I spelt it Scalar Devices. There we go. Yeah, Scalar Devices. I'm staring at sorry, I can't find the query. There we go, and there's Jay Larson on the top.
S-C-A-L-A-R-D-E-V-I-C-E-S.
Yes, that's
Scalar right. Devices. Just type it in the Facebook search and it'll show you the groups that says Dealer Devices, and click on it and it'll take you there.
There we go. So yeah,
now in the file section I've created a couple Microsoft Word documents in there that has pictures and step-by-step procedures. One on making the coil, and then taking the ear bud and making it into the scalar device, and with wording in between the pictures so you'll know what you're doing.
Absolutely superb.
And also on there's you'll see one that gives an address to my Google Plus, what would you call it, drive space. And I have two MP3s. One of them's called Earth, and the other is called Star. Earth is just the Earth frequency. Star is the frequency that has 1, 2, 4, 4, 8, 16, 32, and 64 cycles per second, all mixed together. Now, if you play Star in regular headphones for about 5 minutes, then you shut it off and take off your headphones, you're going to hear sounds that you don't normally hear. I mean, it will alter your state of consciousness just using headset phones. But it also alters your state of consciousness using it as a scalar wave function too.
Fantastic. So with that, I'd like to thank you very much, Jay Larson. We know how to get you. We know how to find you on Facebook. Build these devices. I want everybody to build devices, because it will liberate you to know that you can. So with that, I'd like to thank everybody. This has been Ever Beyond. Stay up now. We're going to be looking with Frank Jordan, and we're going to have a round table about Planet X. Jay, are you connected with Planet X at all?
What?
Planet X.
I didn't hear that last part.
Planet X. Incoming.
I'm getting a little breakup on your...
Yeah.
What you were saying.
Okay, I'm going to roll the credits. Thank you very much, Jay Larson. Good night.
Okay.
Beyond.